saving money at Menards. Menards has the best in-stock selection of AC2 pressure-treated lumber, decking, and fencing. All easy to load in our drive-thru lumber yard. Plus, get free deck and fence estimates fast using our do-it-yourself design programs in-store or online at Menards.com. Saving money on all lumber at Menards. America's number one home improvement retailer for customer satisfaction, according to J.D. Power. For J.D. Power 2024 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
Summer is supposed to be an opportunity to slow down, but when you look at your kids, you can't help but notice that your kids are growing up fast. Help them build independence as they grow with Greenlight. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families where parents can keep an eye on kids' money habits while kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. It's the easy, convenient way to raise financially smart kids. Get your first month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/pod.
Hi there, this is Mike Kegley with the Illini Guys, and we're doing something a little different on Eye on the Illini tonight. What we're going to do is give you a preview of the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular, the two-hour radio show that comes out every week. We're going to give you a preview of the July 5th edition. We're going to do the opening segment where Larry, Brad, and I talk about what's going on. And then we're also going to give you a sample of the Illini Guys Roundtable, where Larry, Brad, Matt, and Ked, along with myself, talk about things going on in Illini sports. We'd love you to start looking for the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. You can find it by going to IlliniGuys.com, hitting the radio button, and seeing what station nearest you has on the show. Find the day on Friday or Saturday and the time, and you can tune in. Or you can go to your podcast provider, whoever you like. We're on just about everywhere. You can find the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. You can subscribe and make sure that every week when the show comes out, you get a copy there. Either way, we'd love to have you. And at times, we'll even have some of the show on YouTube. There's a few segments on there this week, and we'd love to have you sample it over on there as well. Just make sure that you're prepared to see us, because it's not a good thing. So with that, I am going to hand it off to Larry Smith. Hope you enjoy this part of the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular.
Welcome to July. Larry Smith, Mike Angley, Brad Sturdy, glad you're here with us. Once again, another big, big weekend. Hopefully you've had a great 4th and you still have some more fireworks and or food left. Enjoy both while you enjoy the show. Hey, listen, we've got a roundtable coming up here in a few minutes. Matt Stevens and Kedrick Prince of the Illini Guys will talk a little Illini basketball, also some football, Illini money as well. That's a real big topic, not just in Illinois, but all across the country right now. A lot of big decisions are coming out down the pike here in the next 60, 90 days. Speaking of, in hour number two, a special guest. We've got the commissioner from the Mid-American Conference, the MAC, talking about what it's like in this new era of college athletics, even when you're one of the schools that does not have massive tens of millions of dollars coming in from a TV contract. Interesting conversation with him, and we'll talk to him in a few minutes. Also, a bit later, a little football talk, part of the Eye on the Illini podcast. We'll hear part of that conversation, Mike talking with Matt Stevens and Steve Sturm. It's a very, very busy couple of hours here. Glad you're with us on the show. Gentlemen, let's talk NBA Summer League. We got past the draft. You know, Terrence Shannon taking in the first round in Minnesota. But the Summer League starting, and we've got several former Illini playing. Lots of reasons to watch these games in Las Vegas.
Yeah, it's great. You got four Illini over the past few years who are in the summer league. We've talked Terrence Shannon, obviously Minnesota Timberwolves, Marcus Dumas, Chicago Bulls, Quincy Guerrier with the Toronto Raptors, and then Georgie Bishanasvili, who was with the Indiana Pacers. So both Guerrier and Dumas got Exhibit 10 contracts, which are basically tryout deals where they have an opportunity to, they get a bonus, could be anywhere from $5,000 to $75,000. And then they're basically at the league minimum, if they end up making the team. And then, Shannon will get his, his deal for being in the first round. And Georgie's, he played some in the G League. Now he's looking to try and find something, maybe make a squad. He does have a unique set of skills. It's always interesting with a guy like him.
Yeah, there's a lot of rooting interest in this. And of course, it's such a fantastic story of Terrence Shannon Jr. betting on himself and winning that court case. And now he's with the Timberwolves. I find a lot of the pictures that the Timberwolves are releasing of him in the locker room and doing various things around Minneapolis is just fantastic. And it's really good to see that that story worked out well. And that's, it's going to be, I'm going to be watching to see how he does.
Yeah. And I think too, I just think his game translates to the NBA so well. He's one of these players that at age 23, 5 years at two major programs, all conference at two different conferences, all American, all the records he set. He's just it really works so hard. I can't wait to see him get onto this stage and how he does. And then, of course, working into the fall and the other guys as well. A lot of fun reasons, again, to watch the summer league. And it's just so, it's so much fun the way they do that now, make it into the tournament kind of thing, gives it a little more excitement as well. I think it's not just guys playing. You actually have a reason to root for certain teams and certain games. It kind of, it brings a little pizzazz to it. Speaking of watching, we've enjoyed watching some of the early videos coming out of this Illini basketball program as most of the guys are on campus. And again, most of the guys are new to campus. So every moment together is precious. Your thoughts as you begin to see some of the, you know, the video leaking and things you guys have had in conversations with staffers and other people about how these guys look so far.
Yeah. I think the guy that, you know, we're still waiting. Tomislav hasn't been playing with him. He should, you know, right. Is there, you know, on the way here. And then Will Riley a little bit later, but of the guys who are there, I think that what I've heard from everyone involved, the coaches and staff members, has been, you know, Kasparis, Hakusionis has been legit. Like, I mean, you know, people are saying, it was funny, one person said, you know, he's got a chance to start and, you know, he'd be a really good player. Another person said he could be Big Ten Freshman of the Year. One person said, why would we stop at freshman? He might be the Big Ten Player of the Year. He's that good. He's just elite. Now, I don't want to get the hype train because sometimes people get a little excited about that stuff, but he's really good. He's got all the skills there. Before those guys arrived, Trey White was really playing well, the Louisville transfer. People are really high on him. And, you know, I think we've seen growth from the, you know, like Draven Gibbs Lahore and Ty Rogers. And the other guys, Ben Humrickhouse he's a proven guy. He is what he is, right? I mean, I think he can score, do really good things. But I think the other guy that's really impressed people is Merez Johnson. Because he is so relentless on the glass and he runs the floor. He's that athletic guy. I mean, can you imagine if he would have been on the team a year ago and you'd had him so Coleman Hawkins to slide over and play his natural four position. And you still have a Merez who could battle inside and physical and run the floor and do all those things, even for just, if he can do that 15 minutes, 20 minutes a game, just bring that relentless motor. I mean, this team has a chance to be really, really good.
Yeah, that video was really an eye opener for me. Kasparis he did some moves. Those are NBA moves. Now, granted, it's just practice. We also saw Ty Rogers knocking down some
practice,
shots.
Man. Practice.
exactly. Ty Rogers knocking down some jump shots, which was awesome to see. And I think overall, the guy that I keep hearing his name come up a lot is Trey White, and very few Illini fans are even talking about him right now. And so when you have that many players who are playing well early on, that's certainly a positive indicator. But as many people say, you know, you need to turn on the lights in the State Farm Center and put an opponent before we can really start judging things.
You know, I think one thing we had three different players last year who scored 30 points in a game at some point, right? Shannon, Damask, and Coleman Hawkins. You know, I don't know if you have that, but I think you can look at this lineup right now and say, hey, there's at least four guys that can put up 20 any night, maybe even more than that. Humrickhouse, KJ, Trey White, and obviously Tomislav Ivicic when he comes in, and, you know, possibly even a Kylan Boswell. So, I mean, I think that's a thing too in terms of some depth. Like last year, you have enough pieces there that you can't, as you get in deeper in the season against some of these other players, if things progress the way everyone would like them to, you'll have enough pieces there and enough different weapons that you can't just key on one guy.
Yeah, I think that's one of the keys this year. They don't, you know, last year you knew the ball was going to be booty ball with Damask and Shannon in transition. You knew what it was going to be. This year it might be, you know, some booty ball with Trey White or Humrickhouse may be running ball screens. You may use Kasparis running ball screens. You may have transition, and Boswell may play some point, but he also may play some two guard where he's a spot up shooter with those other guys creating. Draven Gibbs Lahore, what, you know, he's an instant offense type guy. We saw that at times a year ago. He just doesn't have the consistency. You know, there are so many. They can play Ty Rodgers and booty ball if you have four shooters around there. So who do you put on him? Do you play a small guy on him or do you play a big guy on him? Well, if you put the big guy on him, now they go post up, you know, Tomislav or Merez against the smaller guy. So they're going to play matchups and they can really do some unique things offensively. I do think the key to their season, I think they're going to be very good offensively, is going to be what they do on the defensive end. Are they good enough defensively to make that next step? Because that was probably their downfall a year ago. They weren't great defensively. And they were okay at times, but they weren't great. They have to be great, you know, on both ends to get where they want to go.
We haven't seen all these guys play live. Certainly, we know there's a few good defenders on the team, but I think Brad hit the nail on the head. Morez is a dog defensively. You know, he's on a scale of 1 to 10 for intensity. He's right around 11. You have Ty Rodgers, who's a very similar player. And Gibbs LaHorne has also developed, ironically, into a defensive player as well. You find a couple more guys and you can get some stops. Underwood's going to have so many more options than he's had in the past. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to see where he lands. And I think Illinois, with their roster, they can actually dictate and take the initiative in a game based on who they put in there and making other teams adapt to what Illinois is doing.
Yeah. Brad, you mentioned Tomislav Ivicic not on campus yet. We know sometimes with the international players, there can be some delay and visas, that kind of thing. What's the expectation of him getting to Champaign?
This week. I mean, like this, okay. Right. He should be here anytime. Okay. You know, can he get it? Some of it's admissions too, you know, making sure they can get the right, you know, the credits all fit, that he gets admitted, has all those scores that he's going to need for those situations. So, yeah, but I think he'll be here. It's not going to be like his brother. I think Will Riley's going to be here very soon as well. So those guys want to get here too, because they're ready to get with these guys. I mean, if you watch that video, don't you want to get out there and play against them? I mean,
yeah.
I did. I want to go back 35 years and play against them, but I don't want to, but you know what I mean? But I maybe not now, but you know, 30 years ago, but yeah, no, it just looked like a lot of fun.
I'm not thinking 30 years ago be any better than now with the talent that this team is showing on the floor. But I do think there's a look. Illinois has decided we've paid for a really good coaching staff. And now we're going to aggressively give them the ability to get players with a fantastic NIL support. That's what you get when you get when you're all in. And I think Brad Underwood, with his JUCO background, is the right coach for this time. And I think we can look at some really, really good runs here. I think the biggest challenge he's going to have is keeping everybody happy. I'm not saying that anybody's not happy, but with 10 guys who can realistically play and contribute, it's hard to find enough minutes to keep everybody with thumbs up.
I didn't say 11, Mike, because Jake Davis was, what did he score? 9 points a game at Mercer. So, I mean, like, that's not a bad 11th man. And, you know, but I think he's realistic, as is Jason Jackson. They're both talented. They're both guys who might play in a year or two, but those other 10 guys, not only are they talented, they expect to play at least 10 to 15 minutes a game in a role.
Good point. You know, a guy we expected to be part of the 2025 class at Illinois is no more. Jeremiah Fears declassifying this week. Brad, can you tell us what happened with this? He's a five-star guard, older brother, Florida with Illinois, went all the way down to the wire before going to Michigan State. And now it appears Jeremiah is going to skip Champaign as well.
Yeah, Jeremiah has always wanted to go in 2024. My opinion is I think it's not great. Young guards that reclassify, small guards that reclassify, haven't had great success moving up. I think he needs another year of strength and development, and then he would come in and be a really good player in 2025. But he wanted to go now. Illinois, obviously, they took Will Riley. They don't have – there's no place for him to get playing time. If you watch that video and you look at the guards and you're thinking – gee, where does he fit? Probably not on this roster. So, and so he wants to play. And so I don't blame him for anything here. This is a good fit for him. He's going to get a little NIL probably from somebody in 2024 and get a chance to go somewhere and play right away. So, you know, it may be one of those situations where it's a win-win, because you don't know in a year or two, he may want to come back. You know, Illinois has an opening at point guard and need a guy, and he things didn't go well at where he was, maybe you take him back.
Yeah, I think that's the key to recruiting nowadays is you want to end every relationship positively, even one that is like this where a player goes in a little bit of a different direction. But I will say that it's smart of the family to understand and the coaching staff to be honest with one another, because you don't want to get a player here who realistically is not going to play, and then you get frustration mounting up. So I think this was a good play by the coaching staff and by the family to go in a different direction.
Well, one name to throw out with that in mind, Terrence Shannon. Illinois misses out on him the first time around. He goes out to Texas Tech, finds his way back to campus, and winds up, his number is going to be up in the rafters, right? I mean, it's kind of 2 years that he had here. No question about that. So much more to come here on the Sports Spectacular, the Illini Roundtable. We bring in Matt and Ken to join us, and we'll talk a little Illini sports, little hoops, little football, and more. It's all coming up here on the Illini Guys Radio Network. And don't forget, be sure to check out IlliniGuys.com. Free 7-day trial right now. Check it out and get all this information yesterday. Why wait? Whether you live in Champaign or Chicago, halfway across the country, or on the other side of the world, IlliniGuys.com keeps you in the know. Be it in-game results, top-level stories, or the latest behind-the-scenes info in recruiting, IlliniGuys.com has you covered. For about 25 cents a day, you can have an inside path to your favorite Illini teams. And we'll even throw in a free 7-day trial to kick the tires. Go to IlliniGuys.com, click the register button, and get immediate access to dozens of stories each month, message forums, free giveaways, and more. IlliniGuys.com.
Have you ever tried to buy gold and silver and felt like you were talking to a used car salesman? That's because the precious metals industry is like the Wild West. Salesmen can say pretty much anything or make any promise they want without repercussion. But Genesis Gold Group is different. They're a faith-driven Christian precious metals company and believe in educating their customers, not pressuring them for a quick sale. Genesis Gold Group focuses on customer service, not sleazy marketing. Genesis Gold Group is named after the first book of the Bible for a reason. Proper stewardship of wealth is their specialty. Find out why they've earned a 5 out of 5 rating through the Better Business Bureau and how they can help you secure your wealth or retirement through physical precious metals. Call right now to learn more.
800-238-3714. 800-238-3714. 800-238-3714. That's 800-238-3714.
Welcome back to the segment presented by HX Home Solutions. Don't forget, mention Illini Guys and get $1,000 off your project. They are the premier home and office renovation people. Check them out, HXHomeSolutions.com. We're here now joined by Kendrick Prince. He's director of recruiting for IlliniGuys.com. Matt Stevens, he is the football writer and analyst extraordinaire for IlliniGuys.com as well. A little Illini roundtable now. I want to kind of talk about things. We're into July. And fellas, let's start off with, the new Big Ten is here. 18 teams, all-time record, as the four teams come in from the Pac-12, USC, UCLA, Oregon, and Washington. Your thoughts as we enter this new era of the Big Ten?
I think it'd be interesting to see how the travel situation plays out, teams going coast to coast. I think, obviously, the super conference is here. The SEC and Big Ten are kind of in control of the college football landscape. But even, even though the Big 12 and ACC have good basketball teams, it's still SEC, Big Ten when it comes to even those areas. So what I'm interested to see here is to see how these teams how these conferences kind of work against each other and with each other. Like, how does UCLA and USC, how do they handle playing at Illinois or at Indiana or at Michigan or wherever it is, Michigan State? So some of those tough venues that maybe they didn't see as much of on the West Coast.
At first I wasn't a fan, but now that it's here, I'm kind of excited about it because it's different. It's something new, with college athletics in general. I mean, there's been so many, different things that they're doing now. It's going to be nice to see Illinois have to play Oregon or a UCLA. I think that's kind of unique, within itself. One of the things that Brad mentioned that I'm curious to see, because you still hear a lot of athletic directors talk about, balancing the traveling, and a lot of coaches are still complaining about the academic part of it. because that's going to be a big issue as well. And then the non-revenue sports, I mean, how is that going to all, you know, work itself out? But, you know, just the new look and, you know, then the other thing is, if we're talking specifically football, just the style of play. You know, the Big Ten is kind of, you know, they're not that old smash mouth school still, but, you know, the teams that are coming in traditionally throw the ball. So I'm kind of curious to see which team, I guess, or which part of the country is going to force their will on each other.
I'm kind of with Kat on this. I think I'm from a travel standpoint, I agree with Sturdy. I'm kind of wondering how long the non-revenue sports are going to do this, to be honest. I'm kind of curious as to if the Pac-12 will reform itself in the non-revenue sports, simply because money will dictate that trying to go cross country for all of these sports is just not going to work out well economically. From a football standpoint, I think the Big Ten is going to get a real serious jarring by some of these schools that are coming in from the Pac-12, not because they're more talented, but because they're actually equipped to play Big Ten football. Dan Lanning's been playing Big Ten football in Oregon for quite a while now. And Washington was just in the college football national championship game for a reason. So I think that, you know, these schools better. And I think the elimination of divisions in football is really going to cause some problems for some people, specifically the schools that were in the Western Division. I think it's going to be a new reality for them. And then I wonder about, you know, again, just economically, I kind of wonder how long this is going to go. And then I wonder how, from, you know, just a cultural standpoint, who's going to partner up with who. And what I don't mean that like geographically, I mean, like, does Southern Cal and, you know, Oregon feel comfortable right off the bat kind of getting together with Michigan and Ohio State and Penn State and saying, yeah, we're a big brand too. We don't want to do that either, because that's been a major emphasis, especially with this new TV deal of Michigan and Ohio State and Penn State kind of throwing their weight around and saying, yeah, you all can do that and all on that FS1 thing and play those Friday night games. We're not going to do that. Sorry. And I can't wait for like USC and Oregon to go, hey, by the way, that big noon kickoff thing, that's 9 a.m. local time for us. That ain't happening. sorry, bud. Like, so there's going to be some big brands from the West Coast that try to throw their weight around here. And I'll be interested to see how that works out.
I cannot wait to see the clash of traditions. You have three programs that are pretty high up in the football pecking order with USC, Washington, and of course, probably the team that looks the biggest and baddest right now, Oregon, coming headlong into the Big Ten, and they want to prove their brands are equivalent to the Michigans, Ohio States, and Penn States of the world, and they want to prove they're above the rest of the Big Ten. I think it's going to be fantastic. And on the basketball side, you've got the home of the Wizard of Westwood, UCLA, with all their tradition, is going to try to come into the Big Ten and compete with the Michigan State, Purdue, Illinois triumvirate. I can't wait for these matchups, and I'm so excited. Yeah, there's some downsides, but for the first year, I'm just going to enjoy all the new stuff.
You know, speaking of basketball, Illinois basketball recruiting just really has been in the transfer portal and then also in the high school ranks. It's been a past, you know, 90 days. It's been just outstanding. Sturdy, how do you feel that this staff came out of this period right now? You know, there's a time, like always, fans start to wonder, gee, what are they doing? And you missed on this guy, or this didn't happen, or, you know, DeMass didn't come back, and neither did Hawkins. But your thoughts on start us off with how the team did filling the roster.
Well, it's really astonishing what they've been able to do with the talent level they brought in. They have an Elite Eight team, and this team's more talented than the Elite Eight team was. When you look at these guys, you have two guys who are mocked as first rounders. You have multiple guys who are NBA, you know, talent level players. Now, are they all 23 years old? No. So that's a little bit different. But this, they've done a fantastic job putting this together. And understanding also they have some multi-year guys, and knowing that next year the portal changes a little bit, where you're going to need to recruit some more high schoolers, where you're going to need to go in the portal. You're not going to have that extra fifth year guys. They're not going to be there. The COVID guys are done. So they did a really good job. I mean, this is just, I honestly, I thought Brad Underwood's done a really good job in the offseason, added pieces every year. this year was his best work, because not only are they good, they fit really well together.
I will start right off. This is by far his best work. When you lose 80% of your scoring, you know, we can be honest, everybody was kind of concerned. Brad has always done a really good job with the transfer portal. They kind of got off to a rocky start. There was rumblings about kids going to come commit, and then some things happened where the kid didn't commit. But when you look at this roster, Brad mentioned a couple guys, depending upon what recruiting service you look at, I've seen three guys that could potentially be first-round draft picks next year. Now, you know, you mentioned 23 years old. You know, and with the way the NBA is, you only have to be 18, 19 years old to be drafted. You know, you could average 3 points a game, and they look at everything based on potential. So this roster, to me personally, the way they put it together, how deep it is, and Brad, is what he has done is he has, for the last 2 years, wanted to outscore people, and he's doing that again. I mean, you look at the roster right now, everybody can shoot the basketball, and right, I mean, there's been no games, there's been practices, but we've seen the video footage of Ty Rodgers even looking to shoot jump shots. So this team is capable of putting a lot of points on the board. The only thing I would say that they're missing that alpha dog, but that one guy like a Terrence Shannon, which is hard to replace. But I'm kind of curious to see if they have one. Could it be a freshman? Could it be one of the older guys? Could it be Ty Rodgers? But they'll need that one tough guy when things are going bad, when teams are struggling, or coaches are getting on the players. Who's going to be that guy to get them over the hump?
I think Illinois hired one of the best junior college coaches in the world, Brad Underwood, and I think that he used that experience that he had in order to put this roster together. I don't think anybody should be shocked that Brad Underwood's going to do this annually. I fully expect that Illinois will be replacing 8 or 9 guys every year. I fully expect Illinois to go into the transfer portal for a lot of their recruiting every single year. I fully expect that Brad Underwood likes doing this, and he's really good at it. So I know it's frustrating for fans. I know they don't get a really good idea of who's on the team from year to year, and they don't get to make a connection with these guys. But Brad Underwood's going to use his junior college experience to make Illinois competitive every single year, and it's just going to be new pieces. I am pleased to announce, I think that Illinois is transfer portal U, and I think that they're going to prove it once again this year that they're going to have that mentality going into each and every year, is that we'll just go into the portal and we'll get new guys and we'll be good again.
I think that the most unique part of this offseason was the way, if you don't hit exactly who you want in the transfer portal, you just go to Europe. And getting a guy who was mocked in the first round from Europe, and one guy who's, you know, mocked from the first round as a high school player, is, it shows that they're willing to use all the tools at their disposal. High school players, people from the transfer portal, people playing in Europe. And I think that's what a coach is supposed to do. They're supposed to use all the available tools to create the strongest roster possible. And with two guys who were mocked in the first round, that's a great honor for the team. And I didn't realize that when Brad mocks me all the time, that it was a great honor for me.
The fellas here on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular, coming up in just a moment after a quick timeout, we'll find out from these guys what they think the basketball team's outlook is for this season. Talking football as well. This is the Sports Spectacular, powered by IlliniGuys.com. Are you looking to grow your business? Do that with the Illini Guys Radio Network by advertising on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. The weekly 2-hour syndicated show airs on more than 20 stations and is heard in 6 states throughout the Midwest, including Chicago, St. Louis, the Quad Cities, Peoria, Bloomington, Springfield, Champaign, Decatur, Rockford, and Quincy, just to name a few, with a reach of more than 11 million people. For information, send an email to mike@IlliniGuys.com, and let's work together to grow your business. That's mike@IlliniGuys.com, and let the power and reach of the Illini Guys Network work for you.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me, and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-961-2480. 800-961-2480. 800-961-2480. 800-961-2480.
Welcome back. Second half hour. Glad you're still with us here. Larry, Mike, and Brad, joined by Matt Stevens and Kedrick Prince of the Illini guys. As we continue our roundtable here, as we welcome in the month of July. Fellas, we were talking Illini basketball recruiting a moment ago. Give me your thoughts on the outlook of the season. Brad, you mentioned Illinois, Underwood finally getting the team to the Elite Eight. But as you said, this team even more talented than that team possibly. What's the ceiling for this team as you see it still here in the offseason?
Well, I think this team has a Final Four ceiling. I really do. I mean, and now they have a long way to go to get there because there's a lot of unproven pieces. But the talent level's high enough that this is a team that has a chance to make a postseason run. They have a chance to, you know, I don't know that they'd be the Big Ten favorite today, but I think they do have a chance to win the Big Ten. Brett, what's Underwood won either a Big Ten tournament or a Big Ten title three of the last 4 years. So it wouldn't be shocking to see them right at the top of the conference standings as well. They have a ton of depth at multiple positions. So not only do they have size depth, they have guard depth, they have wing depth, and they have high-end talent. It just happens to be really young.
You know what? A lot of people are pegging Indiana and Purdue to win the Big Ten, I guess, because of who they have returning and who they brought in the knock in the offseason. A lot of the Illinois players that are, you know, who are predicted to be pretty good are either younger or from overseas. You can't count Brandon Underwood out. He has been extremely successful, you know, over the last 5, 6, 7 years. And like Brad has mentioned, you know, they're coming fresh off of an Elite Eight performance. One of the things I think that if they're looking to get back to the Elite Eight or try to get to a Final Four or to advance to the second weekend again, I think it's really, really important that they win some of the non-conference games. Their non-conference schedule is just brutal. I mean, it's not easy. And, you know, yeah, you can play the Alabamas and Arkansas and Missouri, I mean, who's supposed to be better this year in Duke, but you can't lose all those games and expect to get a better seed. Last year when Terrence Shannon was out, I think if they would have won a couple more games, you know, instead of playing UConn in the Elite Eight, you know, they might have been in a different bracket or a different seed. So the outlook, I think, on paper, we know games aren't won on paper. I think this team can score a lot of points. I think they'll eventually figure out, you know, who likes to do what. And I do think they're going to put a lot of points on the board. I've heard a lot of rumblings about coaches already talking about how are you going to stop a bunch of guys or that can shoot the basketball because you can't key off one person. So that's what Brad Underwood likes. He likes matchups, and he's put together a roster where you have to not only stop one or two people, but all five positions on the floor.
If this team defends, they can win the Big Ten regular season championship. If they don't, they'll be a middle-of-the-road Big Ten team, and they'll still probably be an NCAA tournament team. But if this team defends, they can be a high top four seed in the NCAA tournament, and then you roll the dice and you see what happens. I hate going further than that because I don't know what the bracket is, and the NCAA tournament's just a crapshoot to begin with. But if this team decides that they want to get in the stance and defend, they can be really a real, real problem in this league, and they can probably win the league. If they don't, they'll be a middle-tier team in the Big Ten.
I think this team could go to the Final Four. It's really going to be about player development, and teams tend to play better for Brad Underwood later in the season. That works out perfectly. And I think while he's done an incredible job on the roster, he's going to have to play guys a little less if they're starters to keep everybody happy. And I think that could really mean that team is relatively fresh-legged in March, and that could be a very fun time for Illini fans.
Certainly, that will be an advantage. There's no question about that. And we think about, again, just the chemistry of it. We saw 2 years ago what bad chemistry can do in the locker room, how that can transcend to play on the court. And so hopefully, again, it feels like these guys at the moment get along very well. Turning to football now. The Illini football team, you know, it's now year four with Brett Bielema. We've had the one big year, a couple of 5-7 seasons now. What are you looking for out of this team, and how far can they go?
Well, I think 6 wins has to be the goal. I mean, you have to be playing when the bowl season comes around, and 6-7 wins has to be the goal every year for this program if they want to make that next step. Bielema has raised the floor of this program. I mean, 4, 5, 6 wins. I mean, they've done well, but to get to that next level, they're going to have to show that they can maybe, you know, win 7 or 8 games consistently, and they're not there yet. Now, their schedule sets up where they do have winnable games, but they have also a lot of toss-up games. And so, you know, you're going to have to win those toss-up games if you want to get to the 6-7 win plateau.
I think, right away, when I think about the football team, the first thing is, you're right, if you want to get over the hump and you don't want to be considered just a team where everyone wants to schedule for homecoming, you have to try to at least get to 6 wins, and you have to beat some people that you aren't supposed to beat. I mean, let's face it. You know, it's going to be tough to beat, you know, a Washington or a Michigan, but it can be done. And are you going to do a night in and night out every weekend? Probably not. But you have to be able to go. And if you're not going to win all those games, like I said, you have to win some of them, and win the games you're supposed to. You know, you at least have to be competitive. And that's probably the one thing about Brett Bielema that I really, really like, is that they haven't been blown out a lot. I mean, they've been in a lot of games, and, you know, did no disrespect to the previous staff under Lovie Smith, but you don't see a lot of 62-0 games with this staff. I think they put together a good system. You know, Matt Stevens and I, we've always had a lot of, you know, fun comments about running the football versus throwing the football. I think, you know, one of the reasons they don't get blown out is because of ball control. They don't allow themselves to be put out there to let people score, you know, 60 points because they're not going to give the ball back to them. So I like the staff, and I like what they're doing. And from a recruiting standpoint, they're finally starting to win some of these battles where they can compete with some of the other schools outside, you know, of the typical, you know, traditional schools that's been in the conference that they've struggled with. So I think, you know, 6-7 wins should be expected, you know, every year with the state of Illinois and the way they're recruiting right now.
You're going to find out real quick how this season could go. September 7th, 6 o'clock, Memorial Stadium in Champaign, Kansas comes to town. If Kansas boat races Illinois, September and October could get real rough. If Illinois can pick up a win in that week 2 game, everything gets real interesting in September and October, because this team is talented enough to compete with pretty much everybody on their schedule, I think, short of Michigan, Oregon, and Penn State. Unfortunately, they have all three of those in that September to late September to October stretch. The reason I pegged the Kansas game is that it's a momentum game, in the which that if Kansas comes in and boat races them, suddenly everybody starts wondering where this season's going real quick if they lose big to Kansas at home. And a lot of those other games that they're either toss-ups or they're not favored to win, it could get real rocky even before they hit Halloween. But I do think that there's momentum that they can pick up early, and if they do that, you could see a postseason run for this team, and I think you could see a 6-7, maybe even 8 win possibility for this team, because Brett Bielema does win a lot of conference toss-up games and has a history of doing that. But if this season doesn't get off well, their schedule doesn't bode well for them later on in the year.
I think it's going to be a unique year, because we're looking at an Illinois offense that looks to be fairly formidable on paper, with good wide receivers, excellent offensive line, a good quarterback, and a running back group that is good if they can just stay healthy. The crazy thing is, for the first time in at least a while for Brett Bielema, the defensive line scares the living heck out of me, and I think injuries could be terrifying in that particular area. This team could win as many as 8 games. They could also win as many as 4, and I think that consistency to detail and that how they play in fourth quarters is going to be a big, big determinant of that.
I want to get your final thoughts here on just the money aspect. I mean, obviously so much in play. I mean, NIL, we know Memorial Stadium, there's the expansion going on, there's money being spent there. There's the house settlement. And so again, Josh Whitman talking a couple of weeks ago when he met with everyone in the media and you guys were there, in terms of the $22 million they've got to come up with to handle that. What's your big concern financially with the entire athletic program going into this 2024-25 academic season?
I think what you're going to see, they have to make cuts. They're going to have to cut some things. And whether that's staff, whether that is, which is just a small cut, but you're going to have to cut sports. I mean, it's just reality. You cannot, because those main sports are what sustain everything. And you, if you're going to have to give NIL to these lower sports and you're going to have to give them scholarships and pay coaches and things like that, it's not cost effective. So they're going to have to make some cuts to pay out that $22 million. Because as Josh Whitman said, it's not $22 million new dollars. It's $22 million we've really already spent on different things.
And one of the things for me is, you know, I would hate to see them cut staff, but I do, or even sports. But I can see, you know, not to diminish the non-revenue sports, but I think those will be the ones that will get hit the hardest, because he's done a great job. He's done a great job of building the program. He's done a great job of you know, with facilities. But at some point in time, you're right, you know, the rent's going to be due. And I hate to say it, but like some of the sports that typically just don't generate money. And then we talked earlier, you know, in the show, you know, you're going to go out and play, you know, some of those schools out west. That's going to be tough financially. So, I mean, it's going to be really interesting to see how they do it. It's, you know, this new conference thing is great, but it also comes with a big price tag.
Larry, you asked what I'm really afraid of. I'm really afraid that Illinois is not prepared for this. I think Josh Whitman's comment to us in the roundtable of, oh, we don't have $22 million just sitting around. We don't know how we're going to do this. And that's not, you know, like Illinois, only Illinois' problem. Like that's a power conference problem right now. We don't have the money for this. And I watched Josh Whitman say 2 years ago at the Big Ten media day is when they announced like the whole big TV thing. We've already earmarked that money. Like Sturdy said, this isn't money that they haven't already earmarked for, and they can just move stuff around. That's not how this works. I'm concerned about how this is going to work. I think Josh Whitman sees a future in which maybe that $22 million goes toward football and maybe a tiny little bit toward men's basketball. And then everybody else has got to figure out what they're going to do on their own. And everybody else has got to be self-sufficient. And if you're not self-sufficient, you're in trouble. I think that's where this is headed. And that's why I think, you know, this major conference, this major Big Ten, this 18-team Big Ten might not be a reality for these non-revenue sports. We might go back to something that's more regionally based for the non-revenue sports that aren't involved in these television money deals. I think that's definitely on the table. And I think that could save the bacon for a lot of these schools that are worried about how we're going to pay out all of this house settlement money going forward.
Yeah, I think the financial future is the touchiest, because Illinois, when they fundraise, they don't open up the door to 1 million people in their population like Columbus, Ohio is. They're going to have to be creative. They're going to have to go after alumni, and they're going to have to stop fishing in the same pools. They're going to have to develop other big fish out there. And that, from a fundraising standpoint, is not easy to do.
Something I know that Sturdy talked about in the commercial break beforehand, also Title IX. How does that fit into all of this? And I know that we'll talk with here in a few minutes. You know, we're talking with the commissioner from the MAC. And we're going to get his thoughts on that as well in terms of, again, where do we go from here? Gentlemen, great conversation. Matt Stevens and Kedrick Prince, Atlanta guys, we appreciate you. Have a great weekend. Hopefully you guys still have some barbecue left over from the 4th. And if you do, share with Mike, because he already ate all of his. Stay with us. We've got some little NFL talk coming up. Quarterback chat as we are getting ready for camps just a few weeks away. This is the Atlanta Guys Sports Spectacular. You're listening to the Atlanta Guys Radio Network.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.